Hello everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Gaming in the Wild, a video games podcast about games from the artistic, creative side of the tracks, from indie to AAA. My name's John, I'm your host, and this week in Reykjavik, it's been snowy, it's been dark, and as I'm recording this evening, we're in the middle of a torrential downpour of rain, and I love rain. I love nights like this, actually. I love the sound of rain on the rooftop. I love the sound of rain on the roof of a car. I find it really soothing. And the game that I'm going to talk about tonight has quite a soothing, mellow tone to the whole thing. It's a game that dropped on Game Pass last week. I hadn't heard of it until it was released. It's an interplanetary exploration game called Exo One, and I'm looking forward to telling you my thoughts about it. It's a nice short game, played it in two sittings, but as well as playing Exo One this week, I also played a bit more Guardians of the Galaxy on the other side of the spectrum, the AAA blockbuster sci-fi comedy action game, and I am still enjoying that one. I'm getting towards the end of it now, and so I will talk about that one in more detail soon. I also played a couple of other short indies that came out recently. I played a game called Haven Park, which is a short hike-influenced, couple of hours long, cute little game where you run around on an island fixing up campsites for your grandmother who was becoming very old and can't do it herself anymore. That was a fun time. Super short hike-influenced. It has a lot of the same look and a lot of the same mechanics in it as a short hike, where it almost feels like a cover version of a short hike. It's not quite on the same level, as I would say, as a short hike, which really nailed everything. There's nothing wrong with that game. It's just a perfect indie game. And Haven Park isn't quite there. It's a little more rough around the edges. The writing isn't quite as good, but I did have a good time with it. I will talk about that one in more detail in another episode. I also played a game called Inglet, spelt Y-N-G-L-E-T, and that was an interesting one. It's a platform game without platforms, where you kind of shoot yourself across the play area between these large globs, and when you're in a glob, your gravity ceases to happen, so you can float, you can gather your strength and plan your next move, and then you have to shoot out of it and use the physics of the game to travel across this strange globular platform-free environment. And it has an interesting overworld as well, which seems to be modelled on Copenhagen for some reason. It has all the Copenhagen public transport stops, like the stations and neighbourhoods. And that was an interesting one too. It was a short game that is available on Steam. Doesn't cost much and doesn't take long to complete. But at this time of the year, I think I'm going to put Haven Park and Inglet behind my ear for another episode, and I'm going to focus on Exo One today. But before I talk about Exo One, I will briefly mention that this show is Patreon supported. So if you enjoy this episode, if it's your first one, or if you're a long-term listener who listens every week, you can sign up on patreon.com/gamingin the wild to support the show, and you'll get access to the Discord server where we all chat about what we're playing and post screenshots and recommendations and share sale tips and news about games that we've spotted. You'll also get occasional extra episodes a couple a year, and I post sale recommendations for my patrons as well, usually about games that have appeared on the show. I keep a running count of how many games I've covered on the show, and this episode is the 145th game. So we're getting towards 150. We'll probably have 150 games covered on this podcast in its entirety by the end of the year. But patrons get a little notification post once every week or so about a few of the games that are on sale. So if you're interested in becoming a patron and getting access to that stuff and supporting the podcast, you can do so at patreon.com/gamingintheWilds. I'll put a link in the show notes as well, in case you want to find that link. A couple of the games that are on sale and went into this current sale update are games that I really enjoyed and think are pretty spectacular, and they were available for just a couple of pounds. One of them was Farlone Sails, which I've talked about once or twice. It's a vehicular game where you're in a huge engine that trundles from left to right. You have to keep the engine running and move through this world. It's a really cool little game, an indie game. And I was really happy to see that it's got a sequel coming next year. I think it's called Far Rising Tides or Far Changing Tides. Might be Changing Tides. And that one was on sale for just £3, which just seems like a ridiculous bargain. There was also Inside, another left-to-right game where you just run left-to-right in a really desaturated, kind of brutalist industrial facility. And you play a small kid, and you don't know where you're going or why. It's another wordless game. And as you proceed through this brilliantly rendered environment, you discover more about where you're headed. And it leads up to a really spectacular conclusion. And that one was available for just £1.50. So the reason that I do this with the tracking the sales is that I like to play a lot of games. I like to try out a lot of different games, and they don't always stick. And so if you're paying kind of 20 to 40 to 60 pounds for games, it can get pretty expensive if you like to try a lot of different stuff. So I do track the sales, and I like to keep my eye. I have a big wish list on Deku Deals for the Switch and PS Deals. Those websites are great for tracking the sales, and I use those. So I do keep an eye on the sales, and I know a lot of other people do too, but especially if you like to try lots of different things, if you like to experiment with different game types and just try things out, it's really great to be able to pick up games when they're super cheap and then have them in your backlog, I guess, to try later. And so I would recommend getting Farlone Sails and Inside, definitely. I know that Inside was a really big hit, and so most people probably have heard about it, or if they're interested, have played it by now. Same with Transistor. Supergiant are often putting Transistor and Bastion on sale for just a couple of pounds. But Farlone Sails is one that I think does deserve a bit more of an audience. Maybe that will come if the sequel is more of a hit. But I am always very happy when I see that a patron of the show has picked something up because of those sale recommendations and then come and talk about it in the Discord, and we get to discuss the game. And people revisit old episodes to hear the episodes and see if it's the kind of game for them. So those are all the benefits of Patreon. I am also currently planning out the games of the year, the year-end episodes, as it's that season. And I'm starting to ask a couple of people that have been on the show as guests if they'd like to return and talk about the year that they've had. And so all of that stuff is starting to come into focus. So I think that December is going to be a really good month for the show, actually. I think there's going to be some really interesting conversations. I'm going to have returning guests, and we're going to dig into some of the things that happened this year, some of the highs and lows, some news stories, and some of the games that were surprises, and some of the games that outdid expectation or weren't what we had hoped. And I'm really looking forward to those conversations. It's going to be a good month for the podcast. But with all of that said, let's move on and talk about the featured game of this episode, XO1. So XO1 is a game that came out just a week ago. It's by a developer called Expletive. It's published by Future Friends, and it has a really beautiful soundtrack by Rhys Lindsay. I played it on Game Pass on the Xbox Series S. I almost said X, I wish. I bought an S because I couldn't track down an Xbox Series X, but it performed perfectly on the S. It's also available on PC via Steam and Epic. There aren't many reviews for this one so far. It kind of came out of nowhere. This was a game that I hadn't heard of until it just appeared on the Game Pass screen, and I downloaded it to give it a try. Was very pleasantly surprised. As I was saying about the sale tracking, Xbox is just fantastic. If you like to try out a lot of games, the selection that they get is so good. I will try out most things that appear on Game Pass for at least a few minutes just to see if it's my cup of tea, and this one definitely was. But because of the lack of pre-hype, at least relative lack of pre-hype, there aren't that many reviews on Metacritic. It currently is at 83 on PC. There aren't enough reviews yet on Xbox to give it a score. Players have given it 77 so far. There aren't that many ratings. So I'll be interested to see if being on Game Pass and picking up a lot of players as a result will make it catch the attention of the media and see if this game takes off. No pun intended. How long to beat has the game at? 2 hours to complete the story. 2.5 for completionists. I came in at around 2.5 and didn't unlock all of the trophies, although some of them are speedrun trophies. It seems to be a game that is intended to be perfected over time by the player to get through it more quickly. There are achievements for finishing the game in 60 minutes or 90 minutes, so it looks like it's a game that is partially designed for speedrunning, and it'll be interesting to see if players take up that offer as well. And the developer describes it as, XO1 is a surreal exoplanetary exploration game. Drift and flow across an enigmatic alien landscape using a gravity-based movement system. Atmospheric, diffused visuals are merged with otherworldly sound effects. Enter the alien worlds of XO1 and be part of the mysterious narrative that unfolds around you. And my little blurb about it is, XO1 is a lush, sensory, mesmerizing trip during which you'll use gravity to roll, skim, and soar over varied alien topographies. It feels, looks, and sounds stellar, but the obscure story could be more streamlined. So this is a space exploration, cinematic kind of game. There are two sections to the game, really. There are short cutscenes where you're traveling between planets that aren't playable, where you'll receive these kind of crackling transmissions that give you just a few lines of dialogue that clue you in a little bit to what's going on. Not a lot. It's more like clues. It's more like hints at a story. It never really pins itself down that much. And that is something that I did find a little frustrating with this game, actually. The story could have been better told. But from what I could pick up, humanity has undertaken a failed space mission to Jupiter, where the crew was lost. And sometime after that, Earth's radio telescopes have picked up a plan for an alien spacecraft that uses gravity to propel itself. It doesn't use fuel. It's a new type of spacecraft. And there's some debate back on Earth about whether to build it and who should pilot it. And some pilot on Earth thinks that the plans are meant only for them. And so there is some debate back on Earth about who should pilot this this craft. And it's all a bit muddled, it's a bit jumbled up. It feels like you're getting jigsaw pieces that don't quite fit together. And it does feel a little like it's influenced by the history of sci-fi movies. There's a little bit of 2001 A Space Odyssey in here. There's a little bit of films like Interstellar or Ad Astra or even Contact. There are little elements that you're familiar with from other sci-fi stories, but it's told here in a very vague way. And sometimes that has worked in cinema, for me at least. I think 2001 really works with the story that it has. There are these kind of vague leading elements to it, but it also has a pretty solid central story, despite the fact that there are surreal narrative elements that you really get to figure out for yourself and place your own interpretation on. I guess sometimes these kind of films go a little too far into the ephemeral territory, where it's like a bunch of story elements that are kind of threaded together quite loosely that can make it a little hard to follow. And I do wish that that this game had firmed up the story or been a little more generous with the storytelling. It's very minimal what they've done here. And because the gameplay is also a little simple, I think it would have helped the game. It would have helped me, certainly, to feel more of a sense of purpose in my play if I had understood more fully what's happening. But the story isn't really what the game is about, so let's talk about the mechanics of it. Each level starts with a short cutscene of a craft entering a planetary atmosphere. The ship hurtles down to the planet's surface, and that's when you get control. So you are basically going to be traveling over the surface of alien planets. You don't travel between them as a player. That all happens in cutscenes. And what you are controlling is an interesting ship. It is the alien ship that has been built. And it looks like a marble. It rolls across the ground. All of the landscapes are quite undulating, so there are lots of valleys and peaks. And you can control this ship as a ball, so you can roll across the landscape if you want to. If you roll downwards, you can use a button to increase the gravity of your ship, so it becomes very heavy and it gathers momentum. It hurtles downhill. It has more gravity than is present on the planet. And if you let go of that, when you're speeding downhill, as you move up the ramp, you can hit another button to take off, and the ball turns into a disc shape, and you are then airborne. And you will stay in the air for as long as your momentum will carry you. You will run out of momentum. Your ship glows when it has momentum, and it goes dark when it doesn't, and then it drops to the ground again. So you're kind of skimming the Earth. You're using the topography to gain momentum and then to let go and fly into the sky. And you can get pretty high in this game. You can get used to the mechanics of this game and actually get pretty, pretty quick. It took me a while to get my head around using gravity to drop to speed up. The instinct is to try and stay airborne for as long as humanly possible, but it actually serves you well to look at the topography below you. For example, if you see a big crater, that's going to be a very tempting place to hurtle down, to catch the downslope, then to shoot up the other side and to jet up into the air again. And there are a couple of other ways to recharge the momentum of your ship as well. If you're flying through clouds, the visibility will decrease, but your ship's energy will be recharged by the clouds. So you can stay in the air for a really long time. And the higher that you get, you can get so high that it feels like you're right at the atmosphere of the planet, looking down on the tops of the clouds. And then before you know it, you'll be plummeting back down to Earth. So it's very vertical. And on each level, there is a beam of light that is visible far in the distance. And you have to make your way across the surface of the planet, get to that light. Each light is a transport beam that is shooting towards another planet. And that's the end of the level. You'll reach that, and then you'll go into warp speed with that kind of classic going into warp look about it, and then your ship will jet out into space, and you're on to the next planet. So the gameplay in EXO-1 is actually pretty simple. That's all there is to it, really. You play as this marble that can turn into a flying disc, and you have to use gravity and use the landscape to get from A to B. And the game describes itself as an exploration game, but there really isn't much to explore here, I would say. You will occasionally come across large alien architecture that you can navigate around or across. There's one collectible on each level, as far as I can see, that will increase the amount of time that you can stay in the air and retain the ship's energy. But that's it, really. So it's an A to B traversal game. Each level is a point-to-point journey, and you can find your own way to get there. There are some features that you can use. You'll find some mountains that you can maybe use the sides of. If you go too far off course, the game automatically corrects your course and sets you back on track. So it's not really an exploration game, I would say. That's a bit of a misnomer. It's more of an experiential journey. And the experience is made interesting by the amazing graphics of this game. As you're travelling through these planets across their surfaces, each one has interesting weather. There are clouds that roll across and cast down rain and sometimes lightning storms. And if it rains, there is like a splatter effect that appears on the camera behind your vessel. And the sound effects are great too. There is howling wind, rain sounds, just like I'm hearing right now in my apartment. Some of the planets have active volcanic systems going on. Some are oceanic or frozen. And so there's great sound and great visuals as you're traveling across these planets. And you can really get into a zen state with this game, I would say, if you just kind of surrender to the simplicity of it. There is a really nice experience to be found in just navigating the surfaces of this planet in this very simplistic way, really. Just using the satisfying mechanics of accelerating, dropping like a stone down towards the ground, and then shooting up the side of a mountain and going back into the air, trying to get as much height as possible. And there is also a speed mechanic in this game, so you can break the speed of sound in this game. And when you do that, there's a really satisfying sonic boom that happens and a visual ripple too. And it's not that easy to do, actually. Some levels lend themselves to it more than others if they have specific spots that you can get up a lot of speed at. But the thing that I loved most about this one, it really was traveling through the weather. It was the wind buffeting the ship in the air. And if you hit the ground too hard, like if you don't hit a downslope to get more momentum, if you just crash, then there is a kind of a digital ripple that comes across the screen, like a signal that is breaking up or buffering just for a second. And when that happens, you'll get like a flash of an image almost in your mind's eye of a photo of the Jupiter crew that is supposedly lost, or of the planet Jupiter with all of its dots and cloud shapes that you see on the surface of Jupiter. And that's just a little reminder, I guess, of the loose story of this game, that there is some effort being made to perhaps recover the crew. So it leans back into the story occasionally. It reminded me a little bit of Returnal. Returnal does a similar trick where Celine, when she dies, will have a couple of images that flash up between the moment of her death and you restarting the cycle in that game. So it's a neat little trick that adds to the atmosphere. And as you're traveling throughout this series of planets, I think there are maybe 13 in total, the soundtrack of this game is just wonderful. It's an ambient guitar soundtrack. It reminds me a lot of a band that I listen to called Hammock, who were heavily influenced again by Sigur Rós, the Icelandic band. And so there is a beautiful, meditative, ambient guitar soundtrack that accompanies you on this journey. And it comes and goes as you find significant spots, as you pass landmarks, or if you come through heavy weather. Sometimes the music will just fade in alongside that excellent soundscape that the game has. And it really creates a very sensory, intoxicating kind of atmosphere. You really do feel like you are hurtling through the weather, hurtling through strange landscapes, very far from home. It does capture that feeling of solitary lostness almost, that I think that good space movies often capture too. The feeling of being an astronaut so far from everything, or the feeling of being in sci-fi, an interplanetary traveler, where the whole of humanity is just very, very far away from you, and you're kind of at the mercy of the elements. This game does a great job at summoning up that mournful, solitary peace. And I really appreciated that about this game. I really appreciated the atmosphere that it managed to summon up, especially as the gameplay isn't too demanding. You do have time to just sink into that atmosphere. It gives you time to just experience the journey. And I do admire that. A lot of video games are very concerned with packing every moment with content, with activity. And this one does give you time to just float and drift and just take it all in, take in the clouds, take in the changing light and the topography below you, the snow-streaked land. and the rolling hills and sands. And it takes a little bit of courage to allow that kind of minimalism in a game, I think, and that's something that I really appreciated about XO1. But there is a downside to that as well. I would say that the inscrutable story left me feeling like I wanted more. I wanted more. I wanted to know more. I wanted to understand. I think that it's an unmanned spaceship that you're in, and I wanted to know more about how does this work? Where is the pilot? This pilot, who I guess maybe you are playing as? Who are they? You don't really hear from them much. You just hear that there is a pilot who thinks that they are the only one who can pilot this ship, and that some Earth politics is stopping them. There is also a character called Clara, and I have written here in my notes, who the fuck is Clara? Because I really don't know. Perhaps it's supposed to be the wife of this pilot, or the partner, or some significant other. And Clara speaks a couple times, but you don't really know who she is. And that's a shame. I think that the story of this game could have been worked up into more, and to have made the game a more whole experience. As it stands, I think the story is a real weak point in this game, and a little bit frustrating for me. I want the whole picture, and I want, after my game experience, to have understood what I played. And I think that this really could have been elevated to another level if the story just gave you a little more to work with. Because as it stands, I recommend the game wholeheartedly. I had a lovely time with it. But when it comes to critiquing it, I have to say that the story is a weak link, and that the reason that I would recommend this really is for the traversal and the weather and the sound and music. But the story itself and the scenario are underdeveloped, or even if they are fully developed in the mind of the creator of this game, they are a little underexplained to the player. I can believe that there is a fully fleshed out story and scenario here, but we really only get the bare bones, and we only just get bare bones. These snatches of conversation and context don't give you enough story to put together the pieces beyond something very, very simplistic, which can be summarized in a few lines. Failed Jupiter mission, alien spacecraft used to recover crew. That's kind of it. That's the whole story of the game in just two lines. And you don't get much more than that, even at the end. It doesn't explain itself. But I do get the feeling that there are perhaps things to be found in this game. I'm curious as to whether doing speedruns or collecting all of the collectibles would give you any more story. Because the one thing that I would like more of in this game is story. One thing that occurred to me was that sometimes you can get very high up in this game. You can shoot through the cloud layer into a kind of stratospheric height. And it would be a really nice touch if at those points, perhaps, you came into communications range, and maybe you would get like a couple more lines of dialogue, or just a few more hints, a few more breadcrumbs to help you understand the journey that you're on. That would have been a really nice touch here. We'll finish by just running through those high points of the game. The feeling of freedom that you have in this game and flight is quite excellent. When I was playing it, I did think about the game Jet the Far Shore, which I covered a few episodes ago, which was very good in the story department but failed on the traversal. And this game is very good on the traversal and gives you the sense of exploration and being far from home that I think Jet was reaching for, but didn't quite accomplish in the mechanics of the game. I feel like these two games could stand to learn a little from each other. But the feeling of freedom that you get in XO1 is really spectacular. The sensation of flight is excellent. The weather, the feeling of turbulence, the feeling of being far from home and seeing different exoplanetary surfaces, all accompanied by that gorgeous music, and the visuals are just spectacular, and so is the sound. It has a grand feeling to it that good sci-fi needs, especially when it's to do with space exploration. And I do appreciate the minimalism. I can see the thinking behind every choice that's been made here. And most of the time, they've gotten it right. I think that the mechanics are really excellent, the sense of motion. There were some really stunning moments in this game, just seeing moons orbiting the sky above you. You really do get that feeling, that no man's sky feeling of a big universe is really captured in this game. And so I think for anyone that is interested in sci-fi, that is interested in space exploration, and things like that, this is a must-try, especially if you're on Game Pass. You've got nothing to lose by downloading it and giving it a try if you're on Game Pass, especially if you've got a nice big TV. I say blast up the speakers, turn down the lights, and just enjoy this one. That's XO1. So I hope you enjoyed hearing about XO1. I had a really nice time with that one. I played it in just two sittings. It was a really fun time. It was a real mood. It was a really good game to play today on this very rainy Sunday afternoon that I'm recording on. I've always been a big fan of science fiction, especially like astronaut exploration type movies. I love that stuff. I really enjoy learning about astronomy and the astronaut experience. I listened to a really good podcast called Astronomy Cast, actually, where a couple of astronomers talk through recent developments in what's going on in space travel and astronomy and planetary observation and the technology all around the world. I really enjoy that stuff. And this game it's a fantastical one, but it really does capture that mood that makes that stuff so exciting. It was a really fun game to play. I'm glad to see when I went on the developer's Twitter account and on the musician's Twitter account who did the soundtrack that they have been getting some really nice feedback. I will put their links in the notes if you'd like to go and follow them. And it did put me in the mood for perhaps another space game. There are a couple that I've been meaning to get to. I have wanted to get to the Outer Wilds Echoes of the Eye DLC before the end of the year, if I can. And Subnautica Below Zero, it's not a space game per se, but it's definitely in that mood of exploring alien planets. I'd like to get to that one before the end of the year too. Maybe this one will inspire me to get my act together and to cover those games. If not, then I'll definitely talk about Inglet or Haven Park. If I don't get around to those ones, perhaps I'll do a mini episode for patrons. If you would like to talk to me about this game, or if you would like to talk to me about games that you'd like to see on the show, any end-of-year games that you're thinking people should have played before they make up their Game of the Year lists, you can find me on social media. I'm Gaming in the Wild on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Twitch, and everywhere, really. But Twitter is the main place that you can find me and talk to me. You can also join the Discord community if you'd like to become a patron. That's patreon.com/gamingin the wild. It's a really active, lively, fun Discord that we all have there. I'm really proud of the community that we have around the podcast. It's a really nice bunch of people, and we're always welcoming more people in. So feel free to come and join us if you would like to. I'll put a link in the show notes for that as well. And thanks very much for listening. Take care of yourselves and each other. Bye-bye for now.